I'm going to ask Shane and Roselle to share a little bit of their story. And I, initially when I asked them, I was going in a slightly different direction with my message. But Shane and Roselle have been with us for quite some time. And you'll see next week that the two of them are really gifts to God, to this church, gifts of God to this church and to me personally as well, to many of us, in their gifting and their professional career and who they become. And I asked them to share a little bit of their story just in coming here and what God has done for you. Thank you, Roselle. Can I just say something funny? So the first time I met Roselle, we sat in the kid mom's room back there, the toddler room, and there was a little crocodile, and I sometimes, have you noticed, make stupid jokes. So I picked up a crocodile, one of these pet crocodiles, and she says, "What's this?" And I say, "No, it's my counseling tool. Whenever someone really is about to break down, I just give them the tool, the crocodile, to hug and to, and then the tears come, and then they feel better." And it was about, and I had no idea why they wanted to see me, and she just started telling the story, and the next moment, she said, "I think I need your crocodile."
I think I need the crocodile now. No, I'm fine. But I do think I need that crocodile. I was saying to Shane, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to share now? What are we going to share now? I have no idea." Sure. Am I going first?
I'm so glad.
Okay. So maybe to tie in with what Ross spoke about in terms of the walls. I know Shane spoke about this. Well, we speak about lots of things, but oftentimes there are parts of our lives' walls that are broken down, and that can be because of things that our parents never repaired in their lives, and then we kind of inherit the stuff they didn't deal with, whether that's criticism or judgment or pornography or bad financial things, you know. So it's so important that as parents or as adults that we actually repair those walls and that we trust God to repair them. In line with what Ross asked us to share, I think, I'm going to share a bit of that. So one of the areas in my life that really took a knock, so besides our parents, we also have an enemy that's against our souls that will really come to ravage us and to, you know, to break down the walls that God wants to kind of establish. And one of those areas was is friendship for me. And so I can tell you a long story, which will be a sermon, but I think Ross has done a great job with that. So I'm going to try and keep it short. But about a year ago at church, Shane, I think, was away on a business trip, and the kids were playing, and I was with Dolph and Corinne and Melissa, and we were at Melissa's house. There was only four of us at cell group. And you know how they always have these questions. I don't know if your cell group leaders also, they send these questions through. And one of the questions was something like, how does your friend help you? Or I don't know, it was some kind of question. But the way I read that question is, do you have friends, you know? So I kind of said, and I'm quite bold and I'm quite out there sometimes. So I said, so Dolph asked the question like that because that's what we're going to speak about. And I kind of went, no, I don't have friends, was kind of the equivalent of what I was answering. And he went like, ha, 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 you know, you're being funny. And I was like, whoa, one of those crocodile moments where I needed those things. And I just burst into tears. And all of a sudden, there was such shock and horror because they obviously hadn't seen that part of me where I'd really felt lonely. And what's also interesting in terms of the adoption of orphans, God really, besides us loving orphans and adopting, sometimes we can have those orphan, abandoned feelings ourselves. And I guess that's where I was. And I think for a lot of women, maybe that's something that we struggle with more, is often our relationships with the things that we get attacked at. And that you can see from the Garden of Eden. Anyway, so that really unlocked a lot of things for me. I think they were all shocked and horrified, and I was being so vulnerable because, I don't have any friends, poor me, you know. But it was real for me. And then I think I went with Jesus on this, and Shane had been on this journey with me for a long time with, oh, poor me, I don't have friends, and he has all these friends, and, you know, so this kind of thing. I don't know how many of you can relate to that. And then I looked at my life, and I thought, you know what, there are a few people. I tend to look at other people and want to build relationships out there, but there are people who actually pursue me, and maybe there's one or two of them, and I'm not going to turn my heart like God would to them and just start with them. And it's amazing. So a year later, I don't know if Ross does these things on purpose, but a year later, which was 2 or 3 weeks ago, the same question came up in cell group. So, you know, what friends have been meaningful? And I was like, you know, because normally what I'd do is I'd meet people and I'd say, I know this girl, you know, or I have this person that I met somewhere, because I wouldn't say a friend, because, you know, for me, a friend is like, I don't know what, I had this very high standard of a friend. And then I met with this girl, and I was like, I have a friend. And I was like, wait a minute, I have a friend, you know, I actually have a friend. I was like, I just have to, and I said to Shane as well, I have a friend, I actually have a friend, you know. And it's crazy, but I realized that my definition of friendship has changed, and I do actually have friends. And a year later, when they asked that similar question in family group, I was like, no crocodile needed, because I was like, I have a friend. And it's amazing because my friendships take on different things. I have a WhatsApp friend, and we ons deal hartstikke and profound things. I said to her this morning, I think we're going to start a book called Friendship Conversations or something. But when we're with each other, we don't really know what to say, because I think it's so deep when we're like WhatsApping, you know. And then I have other friends that I meet like once a month for coffee, and it's just amazing to see how God is. And then there's a friend who I would pursue, and she never pursued me, and I thought, you know what, it's actually okay. I don't have to make a judgment about she doesn't like me and I'm awful and whatever else, or oh, says ni so and so. Can I send an Afrikaans judgment as well? Anyway, so, I don't have to make a judgment about it. It is what it is. She's busy or she's not, but she's not responding. It's okay. It doesn't have to be a big judgment thing. And it's amazing because I just let her go. You know, I just thought it was great while it was. Maybe it was one of those season things, and it's actually okay. And I met her in last week, and she said to me, I actually miss our friendship. I miss seeing you, she said. And I was like, wow, you know, that's so amazing. So I just think it's amazing if we allow God and we bring our vulnerabilities to God and to other people. I'm sure Dolph and Karin must have been on their hands and knees saying, Here, help me, Fro. Because she looks all so together, you know. So a year later, I think in that vulnerability state and almost acknowledging that to God and acknowledging it to my family group, I think God has really been able to help me and to build the walls, you know, kind of as he's showed me. So I have a friend. And beside Shane.
Sure, yeah, I mean, so glad you went first. Yeah, I think, I mean, this is such an amazing message, and I think I feel like you've opened up like a whole lot of other areas that God can start to work. But I guess my testimony is really, even growing up in my family of origin, I always felt really alone. It wasn't necessarily an emotionally safe place to be. And so I always felt incredibly alone. I remember thinking as a little boy, if I can just get to 18, if I can survive this, I'm smart enough to figure out what I've got to do to survive. But if I can survive this, then when I'm 18, I can set out and go and find the stuff that I actually need. Interesting, at 9, that's exactly the place that Jesus stepped into was he said, it's that scripture in Revelation where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone opens the door, I will come in and I will basically be his best friend. And that was the scripture that brought me to faith. But anyway, so it's a kind of very long story short. I mean, it's fascinating to think that I do connection like as part of my profession, is what I do. But through church, I realized that what I tried to do through church was by putting my gifts out there, whatever those gifts are, you know, leading worship, speaking, training, teaching. Somehow I thought if people could accept my gifts and my gifting, then somehow they would accept me. And we've had like some interesting journey through churches. It's amazing how God will constantly just sort of lance that particular wound and not allow that thing to satisfy that deep desire you actually have for him. And so we've got some beautiful shipwreck journeys in terms of church. I mean, a beautiful thing that came through that was just knowing God said to me, unless you have been hurt by my church, you'll never really know how to love my church. But what's amazing is, I think, so the journey for me in terms of just friendship is that I've got a couple of like really close friends. But I guess the big piece for me and the work that God's done in my heart over here is, and one of the things that I appreciate so much about church and being able to share testimonies, is the opportunity to actually just be vulnerable. To actually just kind of put it out there and get out behind the fig leaf and say, well, actually, this is me. Without all the gifts, without all the amazing stuff, without all of that stuff. And then to be to find love and acceptance in that space, I think it's just been an amazing journey for me walking with Rizal in this last year. And I remember the first thing when we walked into this church, and we've had a couple of those shipwreck journeys, I remember walking to the church and looking at the slide that you sometimes put up there, which says, "Welcome home." I remember thinking to myself, home? Really, home? But it's amazing how we've really just felt a sense of amazing home here with all of you. And even though we don't know all of you, it feels like the more I get to know you and the more I get, I just find so much in terms of family and that deep connection. So, yeah, I guess that's it.